Welcome to PS Let's Talk Love. I'm Marcia.
And I'm Solveig. We're communication professors and dating and relationship coaches. And in each episode, we'll be talking about dating, love, relationships, and all their complexities.
We're here to help you navigate the sometimes awful, sometimes exhilarating, and oftentimes bonkers elements of all things relationships.
We want to emphasize that this podcast is separate from our teaching and research at our university jobs. It is, however, part of our desire to bring dating and relationship support to folks everywhere.
Let's talk love. Welcome to episode 48, and we have a special Valentine's Day treat for you this week. We have a special guest. Matt Jarden is here with us, and before we jump into what we're loving and talk to him about some really cool things that he's going to share with us about what he has done in relation to Valentine's Day, because this is our Valentine's Day episode, we met Matt at UAA, and many of you listeners know Solveig and I both work at the university and are professors, and we got an opportunity to chat with Matt about some university related stuff a couple weeks ago, and he had such a lovely story that we were like, oh, well, we've got to have you on the podcast. And he had a microphone, which was extra bonus. It's helpful to have too. Matt, do you want to share a little bit about yourself? Let us know who you are.
Sure. You know, you mostly covered it. My name is Matt Jarden. I work in marketing and communications for the university. And outside of that, you know, I do some writing, I do some filmmaking, and I do a little bit of comedy as well. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
All right. We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah. So glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah.
And we know that you've heard the pod before, so you know how we like to start every episode. We like to start with what we're loving this week. I'll let you go last if you'd like, if you need to think about it a little bit, and I can throw to Solveig. Solveig, what are you loving this week?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I have to say, this has been like, honestly, this has been a hard week. Like, I've been feeling super blah. So I feel slightly better about that because I've talked to a few other people that feel that way too this week. So I'm like, is this just one of those weeks where it's hard to love things? It is the week before Valentine's Day as we're recording this. So I'll try to be like more in a full of love attitude by next week. But I guess that's what I first want to say is I've been like, just in like appreciating that everything is okay, but also not like amazing things that happening, things that I'm loving. The one thing that I'll maybe just shout out, because I do love that this happened, was I was really happy that my celebrity crush Pedro Pascal hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend. If this will date anyone who's listening, it was, I guess, 2 weeks ago for you if you're listening to this. But Pedro Pascal is my celebrity crush, and I was really, really excited that he was hosting Saturday Night Live. And I even like don't normally watch it live, but found a way to watch it, which made me really happy to watch it live last Saturday.
It was a good episode. I watch SNL most Sunday mornings. Yeah, it's like one of our routines. And okay. I really enjoyed the last couple episodes had not been great. Like I'll watch the first couple and then fast forward to Weekend Update and then be like, okay, I'm good. But this one was like legit good. He's so charming.
Oh, he's so charming.
I've seen some of the sketches online, and what I've seen so far from that episode have been delightful. So I'm with you there.
Delightful is a good word. Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I mean, Saturday Night Live is always like, there's a few, you know, there's usually a few that I think are funny and a few that I think are dumb. I assume that's pretty much what most of us have. So, but yes, that was quite a treat at the beginning of the week. So that's the thing I'm loving. How about you, Marcia? What's something you're loving this week?
Well, this is like a real like inception moment, I feel like, because I have really been loving the song Rage by Medium Build. And listeners, if you listen to our the end of the podcast thing and know the music for our podcast is by Medium Build. And a friend of mine went to one of his shows recently. and mentioned this song to me, and she's like, you should listen. And now it is on my running playlist and my cleaning the house playlist and my everything all the time playlist. And I'm just like so obsessed with that song. It's so good. It's Rage by Media Build. I think we should be able to link it in the show notes, but yeah. it's been bringing me like, I mean, I guess it's not like the most joyful song, but it's bringing me emotion that I need at this juncture. It's so good. I know you kind of know,
yes. Like it's bringing you the right. feels that you need right now. Matt, do you like Medium Build? Are you a Medium Build fan? Do you know that band?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I haven't delved into Medium Build's, catalog that deeply, but from what I've heard, you know, I like what I'm hearing. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, maybe we can see if he'll be on our podcast too. Nick and I were in a writing group for several years. And so it was such fun to get to like, be a part of, you know, all of the people who are in the writing group, but also like his process for songwriting. And he's just an amazing human. So yeah, that's so awesome. I love that song. He has a song that's out, I think this week too, called Give Me Back My Soul. I don't know if you've been listening to that one, but that's on my playlist right now as well. So
okay.
That's cool.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been loving. All right, Matt, what about you? What have you been loving this week?
Oh man. So many things. But Solvay, I'm with you, you know, like
really?
I've also been feeling like really blah, you know, it's just that time of year. Yeah. But on paper, like, you know, I had to take a step back and realize like, oh, there's a lot of great things happening for me right now. If I had to pick one, is it a cop-out to say my kid? Is that a cop-out?
No, like, tell us. That makes me really happy. Tell us why.
He turns one in 8 days, okay. So next Friday, and it has just been a whirlwind, you know, just, you know, we're coming up on one. So we've been doing a lot of thinking about just this past year, and he's been doing just so much growing, just particularly these last weeks, you know, he's finally teething. And every time he laughs, he's got his two little front teeth now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when there were no teeth and you were a little bean, you know, just for seeing time just fly right by and seeing him grow. You know, we couldn't wait to give him his birthday present. So we got him like a little walker and he just went to town on that thing. And he just, you know, immediately walked across the living room with this little walker. And my wife and I are like, oh my gosh, he's growing so fast. So, there's that. And also with you, Solvay, Pedro Pascal, I'm loving him in The Last of Us. So I don't know if you're
yes. Oh, I'm watching it. Oh, I'm with you.
I haven't been watching it. Please don't spoil it. I'm going to.
We will not spoil it, but you know, it'll be good for you because you know you're waiting for more episodes to come out, so you'll be able. Because it's been hard to just wait week after week. I usually watch. I usually like to wait till a bunch of episodes are out, but this show, we're watching it live, and it's tough waiting week after week. So.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I mean, I'm so stoked about your kid. That's so awesome. First of all, adorable. So adorable. And also, The Last of Us has really been, did you play the video game? Is that like a part of your experience?
I did. I did play both the video games and my wife, I played the first one before my wife and I got together. But the second one, we were married and, you know, she doesn't make a habit of watching me play video games. But this game, she watched me play from beginning to end. She was just so invested.
Really?
So yeah. We're both watching the TV show right now. It's been pretty interesting kind of seeing how they change things up from the game to adapt to this new medium. And my wife's getting caught up on, you know, this part of the story that she didn't watch me play through. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving what they're doing with the TV show.
Yeah, agreed. Last week's episode three, I won't, no spoilers, Marcia,
I've
but
heard
wasn't
that
episode
it's very...
three like, oh, so good.
Yeah, that's the one with Nick Offerman, correct?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oof.
That one was interesting because like in the game, you know, that character is such a small small part of the game.
Okay.
And, you know, the without spoiling it for you, Marcia, like the thing that makes that episode great is only hinted at in the game. And it is the entirety of that episode. So definitely watch it, Marcia. It's great. Episode three is just a wonderful, beautiful episode. And I guess I can't say more without spoiling it for you.
So good.
I've seen some things online about, like, I have a like loose understanding of what happened. I mean, very, very.
Stop reading. Stop reading. Just let yourself
I mean, I can't help it. I'm on TikTok. I'm on the TikTok and it pops up and I can only swipe so quickly. And it got, I would not get off. I won't get off TikTok. So.
Okay. It's so good. I admit, like the other day, Jason, you know, my boyfriend lives far away and we are always trying to like find fun things to do. And I was like, do you think I am currently not a video game player, but I was like, do you think we should get the video game? Can we play it from a distance? Like, is that a thing? I don't even know. I have no idea if you can do that. But I was like, I kind of want to see now what the video game is like.
Yeah. I'm sure you could watch videos online of people playing the video game. So it's, but there's definitely, you know, not to nerd out or anything, but there's definitely like a learning curve to playing the game. So like, you know, if you're not used to playing video games, you might need to, you might need to ramp up to it, I think.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's a good heads up. Okay. Good to know.
I've got a very easy game you could play to ramp up if you wanted, Solveig.
Okay. What's that?
It's called Stardew Valley.
Oh.
Have you played that, Matt?
I have played it a little bit, but I'm more of an Animal Crossing person, which is very similar. And, you know, when the pandemic started, that game had just come out and everyone, a lot of people got really into Animal Crossing. And it's a lot like Stardew Valley in that, you know, you're a person and you are building a house basically and just, you know, basically living life. There's a lot less of an emphasis on farming in Animal Crossing than there is in Stardew Valley. But, you know, there's a lot of overlap between the two, for sure.
It's a very easy game, Solveig. Like, Dustin set me up with it before it came. It's on Nintendo Switch. But I played when it was, like, a PC game only, I think. My knowledge of this is very minimal, so I could be completely incorrect. I mean, I do know that I played on a computer. But it's very low stakes, easy. Like, you make a little house and then you're farming and then you get cows and you can make cheese and you can make wine and like you like build all these little things, and you also have like little social things that you do, like quests that you go on. Like, you bring, like, Thomas in town needs a pint of strawberries, like, and you're like, I have strawberries, I can get it. And then you get little points for that, and it's like, it's okay. Very okay. Silly, and like the graphics are not super fancy, but it is like weirdly relaxing. And like and you like go through a days, I don't know what every hour is, probably like 30 seconds or a minute, or I don't know, but it's like I'll be playing and playing and then I'm like, oh my god, it has been 2 hours, and I'll be like, one more day, and then
that's why I'm not sure I should start playing any video game. Matt, you look like you have a thought about this.
just reiterating, like, yeah, it is very relaxing, but at the same time, Marcia, you will lose a lot of time playing these games. Like, and it's funny because in these games you're basically just living life, but because of how much time you're losing, you know, in many cases, like for me, with Animal Crossing, I was just not paying attention to many of my real life responsibilities too, while I was, trying to adhere to these, these video game responsibilities. So, you know, it's quite the trade-off. So,
okay.
I mean, it was early pandemic, so, you know, there wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah. And that, you know, those games were really great, during that time, because, you know, we were all just clamoring for some kind of semblance of normalcy in our lives. And, you know, games like Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing, you know, provided that in a way. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
comforting.
Definitely saved me in those early days.
Sounds like this hot tip 2 years ago, y'all.
It's never too late. Ago, it's never too
3 years
late.
Ago.
3 years ago. I don't know. I needed it a while ago, but I'm glad I'm getting it now. Anyways, thank you. It's so fun to have these conversations. I'm looking forward to more. Okay, so we are back in this conversation with Matt today. So happy you're here. Just to contextualize, Marcia and I were having a great conversation with Matt a couple weeks ago, and Matt shared with us about the significance of Valentine's Day for Matt. And we were like, can you tell that story for us here, please, on our podcast? So Matt, thank you so much for being willing to come back and share a little bit more about your story. I think it will really be not only a fun listen for other people who are listening to our podcast, but also my hope is it might inspire, you know, we have, I think, as I mentioned to you, lots of people who listen to our podcast who are single and dating. We have lots of people who are in relationships. And of course, we're all in relationships of all kinds. But in the spirit of Valentine's Day, it seems like you have a great story to tell. So will you bring us back to the beginning of your life before Valentine's Day was significant in the same way and tell us the story?
Sure. Happy to tell it. So I'm trying to think of how far back to go.
When were you born?
Proceed from there. So,
okay, yeah.
You know, Solveig, you've mentioned, you know, I've heard you mention before, you know, being open to, you know, delight and being open to life. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, there was a time in my dating life where I wasn't, you know, doing that exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think there was a specific point, but eventually, you know, I did learn those lessons and was becoming more open to life and fun and delight. And that took the form in me just, you know, going out more, you know, meeting new people and throwing parties, right? Mm. I just started throwing parties. Just to meet people, just for the heck of it. And
can I interrupt you here for a second? Sorry. Are you okay with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I feel like I just want you to spell out. So there was a time where you were single and dating and not having a lot of fun with it. Did I just hear that correctly? Like things weren't super fun?
Yeah, pretty okay. much.
Okay. Because I feel like there are some listeners out there that just probably need to hear that too, that was like, that was a phase of your dating life was like, I would like to meet someone. And also this sucks right now. Was that so, and you said you don't know exactly what shifted it, but there must've been some shift into like, I'm going to like allow this to be more fun for myself. Or do you remember anything about what happened there?
I don't remember like any one moment that shifted it. You know, I think it was very much just a gradual thing of, you know, just slowly becoming more and more like fed up and realizing, oh, maybe the problem is me and my, like how I'm approaching dating and how I'm approaching, you know, this outlook on dating and, you know, the people that I'm going out with. So, you know, eventually, you know, I learned those lessons gradually, learned it was me and just started, you know, being more open to things. And, you know, that started working. And then I started opening up a little bit more and, you know, eventually there was that shift. You know, I feel like a lot of times in life, there's not like one thing that like changes it all. I think it's a very, you know, in most cases, it's like a very gradual process.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I always ask, you know, in my life, like, what's the one thing that caused this change for you? So
sometimes there is, but I was just so there was this shift from like, I'm going to let this be more fun. And then from there, did you always throw in parties or was that like there was like a shift to like, I'm going to start having people over to my house?
That was a shift too. You know, throwing parties always gave me a lot of anxiety in the past, you know, like, oh, no one's going to come to my party and that. So, so at a certain point I just, I guess stopped caring so much and just started doing this thing. And it was like, oh, whoever shows up. And, things just started, things just started taking off from there. So, So there's one party that I used to throw. It was a Valentine's Day party. I called it the Love is Dumb party, just as a joke, right? And you know, when you're throwing parties, you're very like selective about who you invite. Like, oh, these people would get along with these people and these people would get along with these people. But for this, you know, I just invited everyone on my friends list, you know, because we were talking about earlier, but this is kind of a tough time of year for people. And, you know, like for me, You know, seasonal affective disorder just really impacts me hard. You know, it's cold, it's dark, and you know, if you look around this time of year, society is telling you like you need to be in a relationship, and that can be hard for people who are not in one. So, yes. So I opened up my house, just told people, hey, come over. You know, it's chill. We're gonna have a good time. And yeah, so that is the origin of my my Valentine's Day party. And the third year I did that party, you know, I invited a friend. You know, we didn't know each other for very long at this point, but she was good people. So I invited her, and she invited her sister as a DD, and her sister Joanna is my now wife, and we met at that party. So.
It's so sweet. I got goosebumps, even though I knew. I knew.
I love this. I love this so much. Can I just like back up from, I'm going to keep backing up here. The Love is Dumb party, were you like, was the vision like, just come hang out? Were you like, we're going to play Love is Dumb games? Were you just like, was it a chill, like, come be around one another? Were you saying like, bring your single friends? Like, what did you have? In case anybody's listening and like, I want to throw a Love is Dumb party immediately and use and be inspired by you, like, what was your vision?
I didn't really have much of a, like, there were no games. It was just, hey, come hang out, you know, be with other people, you know, have some drinks. Let's just, you know, let's be alone together, basically. Okay. But you know, even if you are in a relationship, feel free to come. I guess the only thing I had insofar as a plan was, and this was only specific to that first year, but like, I had one room, open in the house that was just playing silly rom-coms, basically. Like, oh, if you want to come be around other people but also don't really want to socialize, come and like, you know, just watch movies in this room. And surprisingly, there are a few takers
for wow, so, that's awesome.
Yeah but no other big plans as far as you know, just come hang out and you know, let's just throw a great party and you know, just be alone together, basically.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to say I respect that. And also, I kind of feel like that movie room could have turned into a makeout room as well.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe, that too.
Maybe it did, and I just didn't know about it.
Yeah. So, okay. Were you like, maybe I'll meet someone? Or was that like in your mind at all then? Or was just like, I'm just going to have this party. Let's be alone together.
I mean, if I had to be honest, like, yeah, there was a little bit of an inkling, like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe someone will come that I'll just hit it off with, yeah. You know? So, yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of an ulterior motive, I think. Sure.
I would have one. If it were me, I would totally have an ulterior motive. So that's why I was curious. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also think it's worth noting that you said this, it was year three of throwing that party that you met your wife, right? Is the third,
correct.
which means you were kind of doing this, like throwing parties, having these things with this slightly different perspective than what you had before for a couple years. It wasn't like immediately it shifted and everything perfectly fell into place. It was like, no, I'm going to have a different mindset. And then it was years later before you met your person.
Exactly. Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, Joanna and I, you know, we weren't even the first couple to meet and get married from these parties. You know, the very first year I threw one of these parties, you know, there was another couple that met and they got married even before we did. You know, actually, their wedding was one of our first dates, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, also ballsy to take a date like early in the dating
wedding. I mean, it oversold how early it was, but like, you know, it was definitely within that first year. That summer we were dating, you know, that was that was an interesting summer because that summer, our first summer dating, like there were three weddings that we went to. So we just kind of, you know, went through it basically with all these weddings.
That's some pressure.
Yeah, we went hard.
So was it when you met Joanna, were you like, oh my gosh, like this is what I was waiting for, someone to come to this party? Was it like that, or was it more subtle?
I think it was more subtle. You know, she was someone that I just had I had an interesting conversation with that night. And you know, which is saying a lot because, you know, it was my house. I was home. I may have, you know, I may have had a few drinks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I may
Fair.
Have been a little too vulnerable.
Yeah, love was done. You needed a drink.
Exactly. And Joanna has said since then, like, yeah, you maybe have been a little much that night. So you were maybe a little out that night, but it was still a good time. So, but yeah, you know, it wasn't like, you know, she's the one, like right when she walked in, you know, but she is someone that, you know, I thought was very pretty. You know, we hit it off that night. And I think she sent me a friend request the next day. I'm like, oh, okay, all there right. you go. She's, that's an opening right there. Mm-hmm. And we just started chatting. She was very cool. And it was very, it was very gradual, you know.
Mm-hmm. More of a slow burn, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, we were talking a little bit about like when, you know, before I kind of shifted my mindset and when dating was, you know, not so great. And I think back then is when, you know, one of the reasons dating wasn't so great back then was because I might have been expecting, you know, someone to like just, you know, just to hit it off like right away. You know, things have to be like in pop culture, in the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, and pop culture is not a very, I mean, it's fun to watch, but it is not a great teacher of how you should approach relationships or be in relationships, right? So mm-hmm. So definitely after, you know, since then I was more open to just, you know, seeing how things gradually shook out, you know, and just getting to know people. And that is, you know, that is what we did. So
As you're saying that, I'm smiling because something I catch myself in still, even though I know better, is that I am like such a romantic storyteller in my mind. Like I love the romantic story. And so when it doesn't, like when reality does not, which it rarely does, right, match up with the romantic, the epic romantic story in my mind, I really have to do some like managing of expectations with myself, because it's not even like, you know, sometimes the reality is actually even better, but it's not the story that I told in my mind about how I thought it was going to go. I just want to mention that because it made me think of what you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's how I operated for a very long time until I took a step back and realized, well, exactly what you said, you know, reality is not that way, and it is often better, but it's not it's not the way it is in pop culture and movies or whatnot. So
yeah, not mm-hmm. often. We're big fans of the slow burn around here.
Mm-hmm. The payoff
nice
is way better that someone. Way
yeah.
A much better foundation is set too, right? Like then early on you can take them to a wedding and it's not weird.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about laying that foundation for sure. Yeah.
So was there more to that story that you wanted to tell us?
Oh yeah, yeah. So February and that party just continued to be a really great time of year for us. You know, I think it was 2 years after that party, Love is Dumb 5, I believe, that is when I proposed to Joanna. But I have to say it wasn't during the party, because, you know, I'm not really a fan of a public proposal. So it was before the party in private is when mm-hmm. I proposed to her. And yeah, you know, when we were able to celebrate it kind of during that party, you know, she had her ring and people were like, oh, what is that? And it was, it was great. And then the year after that, the February after that, is when we had our wedding. And that ended up being the Love is Dumb party for that year.
Really was your wedding? That's so funny.
It was, you know, the sign outside of the wedding hall says, man, Joanna's wedding. Also, it's Love is Dumb 6 or whatever the number was.
I love it.
For that year.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was February 2020. So it was like one month before the world shut down, basically.
Wow.
That is some good timing. Yeah. I mean, you could not have planned that better.
Oh no, not at all. You know, coronavirus was in the headlines at the time, but it still felt like so far away. But yeah, that was like an amazing just gathering with all of our friends and family. So it was great to to do that right before we had to shut everything down, basically, and isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, And last year, you know, we had to skip throwing the party for a while, but last year, you know, we brought it back in the form of last year we brought it back and we celebrated in the hospital because that is when we had our kid. So we celebrated Love Is Dumb in the hospital. The birth of our son.
You really doubled down on a theme, Matt. I'm noticing.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't on purpose. The February date was not planned. I swear we did not plan on giving birth in February. That just was a lovely coincidence. So please believe me. That was just a lovely, lovely coincidence.
It is remarkable. You don't have to really remember many dates. Like it's all pretty much the same.
Exactly. It's all in February.
Yeah.
We really streamlined a lot of the important dates for sure.
Oh my gosh. That's so great. I love this story so much. Thank you for telling it.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I feel like it could be its own rom-com.
Definitely.
Doesn't it feel like that?
Yes.
Like I feel, you know, you'd have to inject some conflict in there somewhere, but I feel like that is a rom-com.
Yeah,
it is. Netflix, I hope you're listening. Yeah,
right. Let's strike a deal.
I'd like Netflix to see this one.
Yeah.
I want that Netflix money, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Starring Pedro Pascal.
Oh, sure. Okay,
I can
okay.
only be so lucky to have Pedro Pascal star play me in an adaptation.
Marcia and I like
we're
to
all about
Yeah, go
put
ahead.
It out in the universe, you know. Yeah.
All right. I'm putting it out there. Pedro Pascal plays me.
I'd like to play Joanna.
There you go. Sold.
Just putting that out there as well.
I'd like to play somebody making out in the rom-com room.
All right. Well, that was amazing. Yeah. Gosh. You know. I imagine there's some people listening that are like, that's a great love story and all, Matt, but I'm having a hard time and I think love is dumb. I'm curious if you would just like, if you were to like go back and talk to yourself in those days when you were sort of like, oh, I guess I could start throwing some parties. If you were to give that person some advice, what might you say? I'm curious.
What would I say? You know, not to sound too repetitive, because it's all stuff that I've heard you guys talk about before.
Say it in your own way.
But basically, just being open to the universe and being open to other people, and it would be one of my main bits of advice.
Yeah.
And related to that is to, just be out there and be engaged. You know, and there's a lot of overlap between the two, but I just was not doing a lot back in those days when I was not going on great dates. You know, I wanted to do a bunch of stuff, but for whatever reason or not, you know, be it anxiety, I just wasn't doing a lot. Like I was waiting for a lot of things to line up before I started to put myself out there and, you know, just living my best life, I guess, and doing all the things that I want to do. So, and by being out there, you know, you become more, you have more to offer to someone when you do meet them. You know, you become more interesting because no one wants to go on a date with someone who doesn't have a lot going on for themselves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No one wants that to be put on them, basically. Like
you are now my everything. Thank
exactly.
you. I'm glad to meet you. Be everything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too
exactly.
much.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's so much to put on one person, you know? So it wasn't until, so if I was to give advice to my past self, it's, you know, just be open to the universe, and just start living your life and, you know, becoming the best version of you, the most interesting, most fun version of you, because that is what you're going to have to offer to someone when you do meet them. So, yeah, and I definitely wish I learned those lessons earlier, for sure.
That's so interesting. I love that. I mean, of course, I love that. Marcia, what's your thought?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that like it's nice hearing. I know that this is aligned with many of the things that we've talked about on the pod over the last year. But the, you know, the emphasis on being an interesting person on your own and having a life. And even I appreciate, Matt, how you're talking about you threw these parties. And like, there still was an undercurrent of like, hey, maybe I'll meet someone at this, right? Like, it's not like you just like totally set that aside, but you're like, but also I'm going to have fun.
Like, it's and a go bonus, out. You know?
Yeah, right. And I think like finding that balance is so important. I think sometimes when people are looking to partner up, they're so focused mm-hmm. on that. It's so singular that they kind of forget to be a human mm-hmm. and acknowledging that. I think like you keep saying you came to it late, but I don't know. I think you probably came to it earlier than a lot of people do. I think that it can take a while. Also, all I was thinking when you were telling the story, I don't, if you listen to the pod and have heard some of the episodes, we talk about my life motto, which is everything goes my way. And I feel like that is you. This party.
I guess if you start manifesting it, then definitely.
Yeah. I was like, God, everything goes Matt's way. I think it's the first time I've said it about someone else. I only ever say it about myself.
I love how authentic you are too, Matt. Like that the party was called Love is Dumb, and that like sounds like it made you laugh in some way and gave you some a good time to be like, all right, let's all get together and do this. Like that was the, like, I think that authentic you part of it was also probably what made it the situation even more possible for something, for connection to happen. Cause the people that would be drawn to that kind of party might be people that also like get a good laugh out of that and also think, yeah, I don't want to be alone. Let's be alone together.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It was definitely fun to name it that way for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if we zoom to now current you, who is a dad, who's married and is a dad and has been through the pandemic and all of the things that we have all made it through. I'm curious, as you think about love and relationships, you know, our podcast is talking about love, right? When you think about love and communication and relationships, what are some of the things you're thinking about these days when it comes to that?
Oh man, that's a great question. Yeah, again, I think it's a cop out, but like, you know, everything I think about now is filtered through this lens of, you know, I have a kid now. So like, how do I, you know, think about love and relationships through this context of having, you know, having a son basically. And like, how do I raise him, to be in healthy relationships and to know how to date? Do I tell him my experiences, or does he need to learn things on his own? Would he even listen to me if I told him any of these things? And you know, that's a long way off because like I said, he doesn't turn one for another 8 days, but you know, I like to look way ahead in the future, a lot of the times to my own detriment, but yeah, so those are just some things, you know, personally, like that I'm thinking about. I don't know if that answered your question.
Great. Well, no, I mean, I think it's so true. Like these moments of like it, I think it's beautiful that you're thinking about like communication and relationships through the lens of fatherhood right now. It makes a lot of sense given having a young child who I imagine, you know, that takes up from what I understand, though I've not lived it myself, it takes up a lot of energy and a lot of focus. So it makes sense that that's like what you're thinking of. And I really want to acknowledge you. I think it's so amazing that you're thinking about like that those things in your life and how your communication, how your love will impact your son makes a lot of sense.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have like all these other thoughts, but, you know, they exist as like, you know, vague emotions in my head right now that I haven't had a chance to like articulate, you know, but, my wife has been watching, what's it called? She's been watching this show called Love Island a lot recently. Uh-huh. And all right, one reality show that I did get into that is about dating relationships is you cover it on the show. Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so I don't really watch Love Island with her, but I'm usually like in the room, you know, on the couch, like on my phone. So I catch bits and pieces, but you know, there was Love Is Blind, and I did really get into that. So, you know, in regards to, you know, love and dating and communication, things that I have been thinking about, you know, I've been thinking a lot about these shows, right? A little bit about these shows and just how, you know, I don't know if this is something that you've covered on, you know, your show, but like how dating and relationships can function, I guess, when there is such a magnifying glass, or when there is such an audience observing the relationship. Like, are they doomed to not function? Like, you know, I feel like I'm just like stream of conscious rambling right now, but yeah, you know, that I guess that's another like dating and relationship thing that I have been thinking about a little bit.
Yeah, lately.
You know, it's kind of like sometimes, like, you know, people our age will be like, oh, I'm really glad like social media wasn't around when I was a teenager, right? Because I was just allowed to, you know, to grow up, right, without, you know, all this scrutiny. And, you know, is it kind of that same way with relationships? You know, because that is such a crucial time for any relationship, is, you know, those early stages. And just to add, you know, a giant audience on top of that, like, I don't know if that's helping things. And, you know, at least in the case of like Love Is Blind, like a lot of these people seem like authentic, that they're really looking for a relationship and love. But I don't know if, you know, the format of a television show is really helping anything. So again, sorry, I feel like that was just a very rambly stream of consciousness thing that I just
It's certainly entertaining for us to watch, whether it's actually good for the relationship. Exactly. I'm not sure. Marsha, what are you thinking about there?
Well, I think that it's interesting to think about that, because while it is entertaining, it really, I mean, I think given, if we are to step back and look at all of these dating shows and how many relationships were successful, it's not a lot. And I was just, as you were talking, Matt, trying to think, okay, what is it? What is it about that microscope or the audience component? Like, even if it's people who genuinely, let's assume that for the most part, they genuinely want a relationship and connection. And I do think there is an element of inauthenticity. Is that a word? It's sure. Inauthentic.
Sure.
It's a word, it's a in word. My book.
All words are made up.
That comes, that inherently is going to come with having cameras on you, because you know that there is this other factor, right? Mm-hmm. And the most important component of a relationship is being able to be your authentic self and being honest, because that's how we build trust and that's how we build connection. And if everything that you are saying and doing with your partner, you know other people are going to be watching, like I would second guess things I said and the way I said them, and like, you're playing to two audiences then, right? The mm-hmm. mass audience, and then also this potential partner. And mm-hmm. you're probably not being authentic, even if you're trying to be. Like, it would be ridiculous if you didn't think about those people who are right. going to be watching, and how are they going to receive what you said. And so I think that, like, that is probably a big component of it, is that, like, just the inability to really be your authentic self. And that, then the cameras go away and the people are like, who the hell are you? Like,
right.
Where did you come from?
Yeah.
It's just interesting because, you know, dating is already kind, especially dating in those early stages, dating is already kind of a little bit of a performance, right? Mm-hmm. Not to like be super, you know, pessimistic about it, but you are like, you know, kind of presenting your best self in those early stages to any potential partners. And then to throw on top of that, you know, performing for a camera, where, you know, the qualities that would be most attractive to a romantic partner aren't necessarily the qualities that an audience would find interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a juxtaposition there. But yeah, I don't know what the point was that I was trying to make, but yeah.
No, it's interesting though, thinking about like, yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Love Island. I'm trying to picture, or maybe I have, now I'm going to obviously go check it out, but, but just thinking about how, oh no, I lost my train of thought. I lost it. It's gone. Maybe it'll come back, but it's gone now. We'll edit this part.
I mean, clearly it didn't grab me the same way that Love is Blind did. So, it, you know, how great could it be if it wasn't, it didn't grab me that same way.
It's a little trashier, isn't it? It's kind of trashy.
That's where I was going. I think that probably in those reality shows, like the people that are like having super healthy, like normal conversations are probably kind of boring to like the majority of audiences. So unfortunately, I don't think that's the way it should be, but that's probably not, you know, in the editing of those shows, I imagine there's more of a focus on the characters and the people that are, you know, doing kind of weird things. And we probably don't see those as many. I think they try to do a good job. I think in Love is Blind, there's a bit more of like, there's usually like one couple at least that like get along pretty well and things go pretty well and it's pretty easy.
They're talking like, about like real things, you know?
Yeah. The rest of them and just like, what's the drama? Like what's the thing that's going to make the audience listen to?
Well, I think you even see that in that the most recent season of Love is Blind with Alexa and I think it's Brendan.
Right.
Yeah,
who I was had thinking about them too. They're just they met. They're happy.
In it. Yeah. And I remember watching at some point, I'm like, do they even like each other? Are they just going to get married? And then like in interviews, they both have been like, they cut all of our like connective moments, like, cause they had no drama. They were just like generally cool.
Like having a nice time.
Yeah. They like liked each other and were reasonable and managed conflict. And so they like got no airtime.
Right. It's like, I'm happy for you both, but you know, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. Right. Which I'm like, I do want to watch it. I do. I want to see a healthy conversation. But then like, if I'm honest, I'm probably scrolling my phone during those. Right. Seasons, like, okay, what's gonna happen? What are we doing here?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think what we've concluded here then is that we all enjoy watching rom-coms or romantic reality shows, but don't base your love life on them.
That's a great lesson.
But you know,
if you're all in your early 20s, yes. For those of you in your early 20s, learn that lesson.
Yeah. Just have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Matt. Is there anything we haven't asked you about that you wanted to share before we end today?
Oh, man. Not that I can think of.
Just making sure. Thank you so much for being here with us. We loved hearing your story, and I hope it inspires and makes others smile as they're listening to us as well. Thanks so much for listening to the PS Let's Talk Love podcast.
We want to send out a special thank you to Medium Build for our show music.
And if you enjoy this podcast, follow us anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you want to support us, it's super helpful if you could give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review sharing what you're loving right now. Really, we want to know.
And if you don't like it and you got this far, don't worry. You do not have to listen to us again. You can just forget this podcast exists and move along.
You can catch up with us on Instagram at ps.welovelove or follow us on TikTok at psconsulting.
If you're interested in private coaching or learning more about our online classes, go to pscurators.com to learn more and find free resources to support you.
See you next time.